Welcome to Healthy You, brought to you by the Greater Peoria Area Edition of Healthy Cells Magazine. Now here's your host, Kim Brooks Miller.
Welcome to Healthy You, a program to provide you and your loved ones health-related information to live life at its best. Hi, my name is Kim Brooks Miller of Healthy Cells Magazine of the Greater Peoria Metro Area Edition, and it's wonderful to have you joining us today. Now, for those of you who are listening, did you realize that teens and children can suffer from sleep apnea? Now, many times we stereotype someone who has sleep apnea as older, overweight, predominantly male, and really snoring. Today, we have Dr. Rod Willey in the studio with us, and he's of the Koala Center for Sleep Disorders, and he is rejoining us to discuss this topic based on his August 2015 article in Healthy Cells Magazine on the importance of sleep for teens and young adults and how sleep apnea and TMD, temporal mandibular joint disorder, may be an issue. Now, what is terrific is that he may have the answer for teens and children who struggle with an alternative treatment. Now, for those of you just tuning in, Dr. Rod Willey of the Koala Center for Sleep Disorders is a general dentist who has dedicated his practice to treating obstructive sleep apnea and TMJ disorders with oral appliance therapy. Dr. Willey is a diplomate with the Academy of Clinical Sleep Disorder Disciplines and is on the board for the Dental Division of the American Sleep and Breathing Academy. He has locations in North Peoria and Galesburg. He is passionate about educating the public on the dangers of untreated sleep apnea and reaching patients who are undiagnosed and those who are diagnosed but cannot wear a CPAP machine. So welcome back to the program, Dr. Willey.
Thank you, Kim.
Great to have you here.
Good to be here.
Dr. Willey, now your article in the August issue of Healthy Cells discusses the importance of sleep and teens and young adults. And a big part of this is about OSA, which is obstructive sleep apnea, or we can say OSA. Now, there are going to be a lot of acronyms flying around, so just tune in because we're going to try and tell you what everything is. And TMD, which is temporal mandibular joint disorder. So we're going to backtrack a bit and define OSA and also TMD. So, Dr. Willey, what exactly is OSA or obstructive sleep apnea?
Obstructive sleep apnea is when you go into a deep sleep. You go through the different stages of sleep. When you get into the deeper sleep, your muscle tone begins to relax. This is the point where your muscles are trying to rejuvenate so that it can continue on the next day. So as you go into this deep sleep, your muscles relax. At that point, your jaw falls back a little bit. The tongue is connected to the jaw, so to the lower jaw, and so the as the tongue begins to go back, it blocks the airway a little bit. Narrowing the airway usually gets some snoring, not always, but usually some snoring that comes along with that. As it continues to go back just a little further, you continue to relax even more. It can block the airway completely. The soft palate drops down in the roof of the mouth and side tissue of the throat come in, and it can completely block out the airway. At that point, your brain only has one of two choices, either kick you out of the deep sleep or let you suffocate. Obviously, it's going to kick you out of that deep sleep, but as it's constantly kicking you out of that deep sleep, you end up with fragmented sleep, or you might say a poor night's rest.
Right.
Wake up in the morning, you're exhausted, and you don't even know why. You went to bed at a good time, got up at a good time, but you were waking up all night long, or you were just restless all night long, and you wake up in the morning, you're just exhausted.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, what are some of the symptoms of OSA?
Yeah, so when you stop breathing for a 10-second period of time or more, then it's going to do that. So some of the symptoms are the symptoms that you would have with a poor night's rest. So daytime tiredness, snoring certainly, high blood pressure, believe it or not, is a symptom, because if you stop breathing for a long enough period of time, then that makes the heart start working harder to get whatever oxygen is left to that little toe, and it can cause enlarged hearts, COPD, cardiovascular problems, even heart attacks from that. So cardiovascular problems, diabetes. It's this, basically, it's the point is this. If you're not getting a good night's rest, then it is going to cause whatever the point is that's the weak point in your body, that's the part that's going to get attacked.
Mm-hmm.
One statistic is very interesting. On the average, a person will lose somewhere between 7 and 15 years from untreated sleep apnea.
Wow.
Because of having untreated, depending on severity and how long it's been going on. It's a serious thing, and it is the root cause for a lot of diseases that our bodies cannot handle.
Exactly. And when we get good rest, that's what treats these things.
That's right. Right? It's our body repairing itself.
That's our body repairing itself. And you know what? You mentioned a lot of physical things. There's also the emotional, too, that goes along with it. And for the other person who has to suffer through the snoring. Now, what exactly is TMD? What is the difference between TMJ? Here again, we have the acronyms going again, but I want our listenership to be very comfortable in the conversation as we're moving forward. And then what are the symptoms of TMD?
Yeah, you might hear people call about that, oh, I have TMJ or TMD or oral facial pain. All these things are all connected to the same. So TMJ is just the name of the joint where the lower jaw is connected to the skull. And it's actually just a name of a joint, the temporomandibular joint. The correct terminology is TMD, which is temporomandibular joint disorder. So it's the disorder of the joint, which is an imbalance between the muscles, the joint, and the teeth. Everything in life has balance. And mm-hmm. if it gets out of balance, I don't care if it's the car, if it's nature, or it's our own bodies, and certainly the joint. When it isn't in balance with the muscles and the teeth, something's going to give here. It's not going to work out so well. So TMD encompasses the whole aspect of muscle pain, joint pain, popping jaws, even sometimes sore teeth. And headaches, ringing in the ears, stiff neck, there's a whole component of domino effect that happens from muscles. So 85% of the pain that happens from TMD is actually muscle-related. It's the imbalance of the muscles because they don't line up with the teeth.
Mm-hmm. And the body's trying to compensate.
Absolutely.
And so we get all these issues. That is amazing. So let's talk about some of the effects of poor sleep. Some of the adverse
sure.
effects. Can you share some of those with us? I mean, we talked about some already, but what people should be looking for.
Yeah, so to kind of one of those things is, and as following the vein of the TMD, is that the connection, about 65% of people with sleep apnea have temporomandibular joint disorder. Because when you begin to go to sleep and you stop breathing, when your airway blocks out, your brain's screaming at you, wake up, wake up, wake up. The mm-hmm. body's natural response is to clench and grind. Clenching and grinding jams up joints, wears down the teeth, causes all sorts of muscle pain. It's the body's best way to try to fight off sleep apnea. It doesn't do a very good job with it, but it's the best that it can do, causing then TMJ problems.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all this TMD issues going on because of sleep apnea, it magnifies the imbalance of the joint, the teeth, and the muscles.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Now, your article talks about that teens need about 8 to 10 hours of sleep a night in order to function and perform well. How can TMD or sleep apnea impact a teen or a child?
Yeah, a lot of times, I mean, teens are notorious for staying up till midnight,
exactly.
2 a.m, 3 a.m, and then they get up the next day and they're dragging themselves out of bed at 9 or 10. And because of that, a lot of times when they go to their physician looks at them and says, oh, you're a teenager. Pff, that's it.
Blows it off.
And they blow it off. They
right.
they don't realize that inherently there's a huge problem with this. Obstructive sleep apnea is a genetic disorder. You can have obstructive sleep apnea, actually a propensity of it, even when you're born. There's even some connection between SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, and sleep apnea. Even though that hasn't necessarily been proven, but it's certainly been proven. I've seen videos of kids that are 6 months old in their crib, sweating like crazy and stopping breathing, and just seeing this huge problem as this poor child is trying to function. It can happen very, very young in age, and as it continues on, you can get into the teenage years, never getting it diagnosed. You can end up with learning disability. Attention deficit disorder, depression, weight gain,
mm-hmm.
lethargic, can't remember things. It can be a huge, huge problem. And people just think, oh, they're just coming through with, that's just the way it is. They're a teenager. No, maybe so, maybe no.
Mm-hmm.
It could very well be due to a physical condition known as obstructive sleep apnea.
Why do you think some parents are in denial about this?
Yeah, I think that parents look at this and say, "Ah, they're thin, they're young, they can't be anything. It's just the way it is. They're bad sleepers. Well, I was too as a child. You know, that's just the way it is. Yep, the apple didn't fall far from the tree here, did it? And it could very well be that the parents have undiagnosed obstructive sleep apnea. New statistic, I just read this yesterday, as a matter of fact. 43,000 people with obstructive sleep apnea, and this is a brand new statistic that came out. Again, still used to be 90% going undiagnosed. We're making a little headway. That one said 85% undiagnosed.
Right.
So a lot of people, millions and millions and millions of people have obstructive sleep apnea. They're not seeing it as a problem in their life. They think that's just the way it is.
It's
just
normal.
And so, therefore, if their kids aren't good sleepers, well, it's just normal for them, too, because, well, that's the way I am. That's the way they are. It's just no big deal, and they blow it off.
Right. Well, you make a very good point, Dr. Willie. And I think if you're listening out there and some of these things are sounding familiar, you really need to be checked out. And I would definitely contact Dr. Willie's practice, which is the Koala Center for Sleep Disorders, because this is something that's affecting your life and your child's life. Now, along that vein, how can children and teens be tested to make the proper diagnosis?
Yeah, the only way to be diagnosed, we can look at the symptoms. We've talked about some of those in here. Another one for children is growth hormone deficiency. Growth hormone is produced in deep sleep. If you're not getting that deep sleep, as a child, you can be shorter in stature, maturing a little later. Again, learning disabilities, ADD, there's all sorts of symptoms that can be out there. Maybe gaining a little weight, can't lose the weight. All these things can be problems with that. But the only way, those are all signs and symptoms. The only way to know for sure is to do a sleep test, either a polysomnogram where you go to an offsite sleep lab and they'll hook you up with a lot of wires and evaluate it, or done as a home sleep test. One way or the other, this data is then evaluated by a board-certified sleep specialist.
Mm-hmm.
I am a dentist, not a physician. We do not diagnose sleep apnea. We treat sleep apnea, and there's several different options on how to treat it. We work with the physician to get that diagnosis. But if you are suspicious that you could have sleep apnea or your children, certainly getting a sleep test is a good idea.
Right. And get one for yourself, too, especially if it's genetic.
There's a huge genetic factor here. In fact, a people group, interesting little data, people group that has the most sleep apnea than any other people group, believe it or not, are Asians.
That is.
We think of Asians as thin people, except
right.
for the sumo wrestlers, maybe.
Right.
But most of them are very thin, and yet they have more sleep apnea than any other population group that's out there. So certainly genetics plays a pretty big factor.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to come right back after this quick break. We have Dr. Rod Willie of the Koala Center for Sleep Disorders with us, and we are talking about teens and young children and getting a good night's rest. And this not only applies to teens and young children, this also applies to you as the listener. This is Kim Brooks Miller with Healthy Cells Magazine, and we'll be right back.
Snoring is frustrating for the snorer and those around them. But snoring can be much more than simply frustrating. It could be a sign of something much more serious. It could be an indicator of obstructive sleep apnea. Sleep apnea has been linked to high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, and even death in one sleep. In the past, the only treatments for sleep apnea were surgery or CPAP. Until recently, General Dentist Dr. Rod Willie and the Koala Center for Sleep Disorders is now offering a comfortable alternative to CPAP. It's a custom-made oral appliance that can not only address sleep apnea and snoring, but also the fatigue and headaches associated with these maladies. This is not one of those late-night infomercial devices that you've seen on TV. This is a true medical device that is covered by most medical insurance, including Medicare.
I'm Dr. Rod Willie, and I know how challenging using a CPAP can be. That's why I've dedicated my practice to providing a more comfortable alternative. Let me help make life easier and healthier for you. Simply visit us today at IllinoisSleepDoc.com.
That's the Koala Center for Sleep Disorders at IllinoisSleepDoc.com.
The Greater Peoria Metro Area Edition of Healthy Cells Magazine is a monthly professional publication dedicated to promoting healthy lifestyles. Healthy Cells Magazine brings you the latest information from respected physicians and other health-related professionals in regards to exercise, nutrition, emotional health, and overall current be-in-the-know related information. Pick up your free copy of Healthy Cells Magazine at over 800 medically-related offices and retail locations in the Greater Peoria Metro Area, or find them on Facebook at Healthy Cells Peoria.
Well, Welcome back to Healthy You. This is Kim Brooks-Miller with Healthy Cells Magazine. It's terrific to have you with us today. And we are very fortunate to have Dr. Rod Willey of the Koala Center for Sleep Disorders. And we are talking about sleep apnea and TMD for teens, children. And, you know, you may be listening and thinking, gosh, that not only applies to my teenage son, this is also applying to me, too. Now, let's talk about the allergy season, because that's a big one. And I think a lot of people have misnomer about that. What is the correlation between allergy symptoms, ear infections, and TMD? And when we're talking about TMD, we're talking about temporomandibular joint disorder. So we're going to be talking about, and I probably just said that wrong, Dr. Willey, but we have a lot of different acronyms that we use. And if you're just turning in, I want to make sure you understand where we are. So anyway, let's talk about allergies.
I'm glad you asked that, Kim. It's really interesting what happens with allergies. So it connects even with developmental. So for children, if they have a lot of allergies, you know, whether it's due to a lactose intolerant, whatever the problem is that's causing these allergies, if they have allergies and they can't breathe through their nose, then they have to be mouth breathers, and they're breathing through their mouth. The tongue stays on the floor of the mouth for mouth breathers, and you might notice some of these kids with their tongue and their mouth is open, and they're breathing their mouth breathers. The problem comes is if the tongue is on the floor of the mouth, so you got an airway, because if the tongue is in the roof of the mouth, you can't breathe. So the kids keep the tongue on the floor of the mouth, never getting it up to the roof of the mouth. The swallowing pattern and the pressure actually from the tongue getting to the roof of the mouth will cause the arch to develop and widen out. Without that tongue getting to the roof of the mouth, you end up with narrow upper arches. A high vaulted roof, which means if the roof of the mouth is very high, then that's also the floor of the sinus. Narrows the sinus, you end up with a sinus compression and problems with the sinus area. Since the arch is narrow on the upper arch, it traps the lower jaw and keeps the lower jaw back, because if with the upper arch being narrow, the lower jaw can't move forward. And the lower jaw is back, it narrows the airway, causing then a propensity towards obstructive sleep apnea. It's completely all connected. It's amazing. So if we get a wrong occlusion or development problem as a child, it'll affect us not only in our child years, our teenage years, but throughout life. Then we end up with this narrow arch and a jaw that's back. The teeth didn't develop correctly. Now we have an occlusion problem. The teeth don't come together correctly. So that connects then into the temporomandibular joint disorder, to TMD, because the way you decide how your lower jaw sits at rest is the mind will tell your muscles to get your back teeth together. However those teeth best fit is how your muscles will position your jaw. If the development was wrong because of allergies, then the arch is narrow, the teeth aren't fitting together the way that they naturally should be, got a lot of crowding, and that causes you to have an imbalance between the muscles, the teeth, and the joint. And the muscles usually pay the price, and you end up with all sorts of problems. Also, when you to connect it to the ears, this is the connection. So if your jaw has to get your teeth together, your jaw has to be pulled back a little bit. As it's getting pulled back, it's pulling back towards the ears. Very thin plate of bone between the jaw joint and the ear, and it can compress that jaw into the ear space, narrowing the ear space, causing then an oscillation of the tympanic membrane in the ear, creating a narrowing of that ear, causing itching of the ear, clogged ear feeling, burning sensation, sometimes dizziness or hearing loss, feeling like you got an ear infection. Then you go into the ear doc, and they'll look in there, and they'll say, I don't see anything. Well, here's an antibiotic. Try this. See if that takes care of it. And it's actually compression of the jaw into the ear creating the problems. A lot of referrals from the ears, nose, and throat specialists around here where people are going in thinking they have jaw problems. It can happen as a young child. It can happen during the teenage years, or it can happen as an adult. Again, it's that imbalance of muscles, teeth, and joint. And when they're out of balance, something's going to give.
Right, right. Yeah. That is just so fascinating, because it's things that you really don't think about, but it's a whole domino effect. And then it's the body compensating. And like you said, there will be something that will give, but it will still cause issues. Now, do you see quite a few patients who have been told that they have an ear infection when in fact it really is TMD?
I had someone in just this week, as a matter of fact, and this poor lady was having severe pain on her left side, was referred from an ears, nose, and throat specialist. She had gone, and this has been going on for several years, she's had two surgeries on her ear because the ear keeps narrowing up. And so they keep going in and actually carving away at the bone in the inner ear to get more room in there. And she's actually got some hearing loss in that ear now. And now they're coming in and they're looking and they're saying this, the ears, nose, and throat specialist who hasn't done the earlier work that was done out of town, but he was wise enough to look at this and say, hey, I think this is a jaw problem, and sent her to us, and now we're treating her with an appliance to allow for the muscles to get the jaw where it actually needs to be, getting the compression off that ear. And so the ear can naturally decompress in the bone can, and hopefully we'll get some resolve on this. We see it often, actually. So people, it's a nebulous thing. People go in and they automatically think it's an ear pain because the joint is right in front of the ear. So they think they're having ear infection when in reality it's temporomandibular joint disorder. And so love it when I have them coming from the ENTs because it could be an ear infection.
Absolutely.
But if it's not an ear infection, very, very, very high likelihood it's actually the TMJ and creating TMD issues.
Mm-hmm, right. And hopefully this lady will have comfort restored. I mean, she won't regain her hearing back because of the damage, but right. She'll have, you know, the pain. And I'll tell you, when you're dealing with pain all the time, that's just, that affects everything else too.
Yeah, it's really interesting how we are so wonderfully and fearfully made. I mean, when our bodies are amazing. Yeah, but boy, when they're out of balance, it really can create all sorts of havoc. So it's nice to be able to work with the other physicians and people in the area to try to figure this out to do what's best for the patient.
Exactly.
And certainly there's times where I'll have people come in to see me, and I'll look and we'll be like, well, everything looks pretty good on the jaws. I think everything's fine here. Have you seen your ear doctor? No, I haven't been there. And I'll refer them that direction to get a good evaluation. Because the two symptoms can kind of mix up.
Right.
But boy, we need a good diagnosis to make sure we're doing the right thing for the patient.
No, exactly. Now, let's talk about sleep hygiene. I know some people might think sleep hygiene. Well, what I'm referring to is what are some good points about getting a good night's rest? And not just for teens, but anybody who's listening.
Yeah.
Would you like to share some things with
us? I had a patient in just yesterday. My heart just went out to this patient. She smokes three packs of cigarettes. She got up at 2 in the morning and smoked a cigarette. Quite overweight, having all sorts of problems in a lot of areas. I asked her how often she, with caffeine, because she's waking up all night long. She has the last, she says, well, I don't have any coffee after 8 o'clock at night. And I'm like, man, we've got so much stuff. Sleep hygiene is huge. Caffeine causes fragment of sleep. Nicotine helps you to get to sleep, but then it gets you waking up. It also causes fragment
like alcohol?
Of sleep. Alcohol, same thing. All these things are huge problems. So if we're having trouble sleeping, we need to make sure we have no caffeine after lunch. We need to make sure we're not doing the smoking and the alcohol thing, the exercise, the water, all these things that helps us. Also, the circadian rhythms, there's something called melatonin that our body naturally produces. If we're not getting that production, then we may be getting, there's two different types of glands that are in the brain. One makes you feel tired, the other helps you to wake up. Mm-hmm. And if those are not secreting at the right times, then we're going to have insomnia issues, we're going to be lethargic during the day. It could be due to a circadian rhythm problem, needing then to look at things like melatonin supplements or mm-hmm. something down that line. So there's a lot of things that can create this. But sleep hygiene is huge. We need to get the proper amount of sleep. We need to make sure that we're in a regular routine, so we're not going to bed at 9 one night and then 1 in the morning the next night. Makes it tough for certain professions.
Oh,
nurses,
sure.
I feel bad for nurses. I feel so bad for people in the swing shifts.
Oh, yes.
It is so hard on the body mm-hmm. to be able to do that. But anyway, that can be a real issue.
Yeah, one thing I do want to touch base on quickly mm-hmm. is about electronics before going to bed. And I mean, this is just not teens and young people. This is adults too, because of the addiction
right.
to the cell phone, iPads, et cetera.
Yeah, so one thing that causes you to kind of to not get tired is electronics. When you have a light that is flipping back and forth, TV or computer, has video games especially, all these things, it will keep you awake. It's like throwing caffeine in there because it keeps triggering the daytime secretion to keep happening, and you end up not getting the sleep that you need because of it. So it's stimulating. It's a stimulus for the body that keeps you awake, is all this, these bright lights and the changes and all these things. So electronics is huge. We need to try to stay away from these electronics later on at night. Put them away at 8 at night and start relaxing. Get out a good book, something that can help you relax and go forward.
Uh-huh. That's great. Well, Dr. Lee, we're going to have to wind things up here. As usual, it is such a pleasure having you on. And for those of you that are listening, there were some really good points made today. And if you find yourself really struggling with sleep, you know, be sure to contact Dr. Willie and his team at the Koala Center for Sleep Disorders. Thank you for coming on, Dr. Willie. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kim.
Now, let me give you his phone number because that is so pertinent. You can contact the Koala Center for Sleep Disorders, and this is the Dunlap location, North Peoria, at 309-243-8980. Again, 243-8980. Or you can go to IllinoisSleepDoc.com. That's all one word, IllinoisSleepDoc.com. And you can learn more about this information. You can request an appointment or even sign up for an upcoming seminar. And also be sure to see Dr. Willie's ad and article in the August 2015 issue of Healthy Cells Magazine, because what we talked about today is exactly in this article and more. It can also be read online at our website and the Healthy Cells Facebook page. For the online article and listening to this podcast and other radio shows, please visit healthycellsmagazine.com/Peoria. Again, it's healthycellsmagazine.com, all run together, /Peoria. Or you can pick up your copy of the magazine that can be found at over 800 locations in the greater Peoria metro area. And I just want to thank everybody who tuned in this week and for sharing your time with us. This is Kim Brooks Miller with Healthy Cells Magazine of the greater Peoria metro area edition, hosting Healthy You. God bless you, and we look forward to being with you again soon next Saturday. And until then, be in your best health know with Healthy Cells Magazine and the companion radio show Healthy You, which you're listening to right now. Thank you.